Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who never leaves the house without wearing a cup, Pete Chwaba.
Great to have you with me tonight. Wednesday edition of Nightlight. So much fun to discuss movies and TV and wind down our day together. Thanks for being with me. Hey, check out the news podcast. If you haven't done this yet, on Civic Media's website, civicmedia.us, click on any one of the stations, and at the top, there's what's called the News Roundup. It gives you about 8 or 9 minutes of everything you might have missed that day, be it news, sports, weather. I do an entertainment segment on there. A lot of them are kind of funny. I try to put jokes in there about entertainment. So, and mine are typically at the end of the roundup, but it's just great. The Civic Media News team is outstanding. Weather, sports, Mike Clemens, Brittany Merlot. It's just great stuff. So if you haven't done that yet, check out. You can get all your news like in 9 minutes and be ready to roll and discuss current events with all the people in your life, knowing that you've been well informed. So our question tonight is, do you tip? And I don't mean do you tip waiters and waitresses who work hard for your money, who are running back and forth, getting you drinks, getting you food, getting you extra napkins, whatever it is. Do you tip cashiers or people who hand you your coffee in the drive-thru? Those are the people I want to know. Do you tip them? And again, it's nothing against them. They're working hard too, but they should be paid a decent salary and not relying on tips. As I mentioned earlier in the show, yesterday I ate at a pizza place. I tipped $1 for 2 slices of pizza. My order was like 10 bucks. I tipped 10% for someone taking my debit card. Then I had to go wipe off the table I sat at and then I bust my own tray. So my question is, should I share in the tips? Again, it's nothing against the workers. It's the people who aren't paying them enough and shaking down their clientele for extra money to tip their workers. Not cool, in my opinion. Do you tip? Let us know. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Some people tip because they feel guilty. Some people tip, like me, when they're going to prepare my food. I don't know what they're going to do. So I tip. I'm scared. I have a friend who just reminded me that he did this, and he did this once when I was with him. He said he takes the thing from Starbucks and says, "Do you want a tip?" And he says this out loud for the person in the window to hear. "Do you want a tip?" And he very adamantly says, "Nope," and clicks the no thank you. That takes guts because it's not their fault. I'm not upset with them. But I have to say, I think about it. Are they going to do something to my food? Are they going to add Ex-Lax to my coffee? I don't know. Robert from the 608 from McFarland says, "I feel the same as you. Out of fear that my food won't be as good is ridiculous." Oh, I already read that one. Sorry. Oh, you get two, Robert. I'll read it again. "It's ridiculous. It's us good people. Shame us into tipping." Steve from Florida from the 920 says, "You were right, Pete. How do we get back to the days on tipping someone because they deserve it?" Yeah, I'm with you. "Totally agree. It has gotten out of control by expectations from the owner. My rule of thumb is 20% on workers who actually deserve the tip part of the old school philosophy." And that's what I do too. Typically, I'll do 20% at least. But even if they're not great, if I kind of feel bad for them, I'm doing at least 15, probably 20. If I really like them, I'll do 25. You know, it's only money. Can't take it with you. From the 920, Jim says, Jim from Appleton says, "Yes, tipping in America is way out of hand. The last time I was in Europe, and it has been a few decades, I tried to tip a bellman. He looked at me like I had 2 heads and 3 arms. In Europe, they pay a living wage. Here, they pay $2.50 an hour plus tips." Is that what it's at?
I heard some.
$2.50?
Yeah, I heard sometimes that it's like that.
But that's for, okay, that's wrong. That's too low.
Yeah. That's way too low.
Wait, it's ridiculous. It's a joke. Because the people behind the counter, the cashier that I tipped the other day, they're probably getting 11, 13, 15 bucks an hour. And they want tips for them? Pay them more. $2.50. That's beyond insulting. Paula, Conrad's mom checking in. I agree with you, Pete. I don't tip cashiers at coffee shops. But then I feel guilty and think, what if that was me? I don't feel guilty about that because I feel like if I have some money left over, if I paid in cash, I'll throw the coins in a jar. I don't mind doing that. I don't know. It's crazy. So get in on the fun, folks. Do you tip? Do you think it's out of hand? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Always love reading your texts on the air. Man, I was listening to that ad. Busted Pencils is such a great show. If you haven't checked out Busted Pencils yet, I highly recommend it. Tim and Johnny, they're so fun to listen to. And I think someone compared them to like Car Talk. Do you remember that show, Conrad? It was probably before your time.
Yeah.
These guys just talked about cars and people call in with their car problems. And they were kind of just these two Boston dudes, I think they were from. And it was great. And they have Busted Pencils kind of has that vibe, only they're talking about something much more important like education. And I am biased because my wife's a teacher. Robert checking in again. Server minimum wage federally is $2.13 an hour. That wow. cannot be true.
If it is, that's
embarrassing.
Wow.
Yeah. That is embarrassing. Oh my God. That just it makes me mad. Here's another thing while we're talking about tipping and low wages. The Titanic set sail today, folks. Did you know that? I'm not equating that. I guess I am kind of equating that.
I didn't know.
one of my favorite phrases is rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. Like, you're going down anyway. Why are you rearranging the chairs on the Titanic? It's so crazy. So today is David Harbour's birthday?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's 49.
Mm-hmm.
He is one of my... I wouldn't say he's one of my favorite actors, but whenever I see David Harbour in a movie, I'm always like, I don't know if this movie will be good enough or good or not, but David Harbour will entertain me. He's
yeah.
a good actor. He's funny, but he's also a serious actor. He was in Equalizer 2. No, I think the first one. And he played a Boston cop who was helping out the Russian mob. Like, he was on the take. He was so good. And Denzel Washington just like berated him and kind of tortured him a little bit in his acting. He's so good. But you've probably seen him in Stranger Things.
Yes.
Yeah, Stranger Things. And Violent Night, more recently even.
Yeah.
I gave up on Stranger Things after the first season. Did you stick with it?
I love that show.
Still, you stayed with all the seasons?
Yeah, it's really cool. I really enjoy it. I've watched it 3 times now, just waiting for that final season.
Wow, good for you. You watch every season 3 times?
Yes.
All right, then you, sir, can do the honors of setting up David Harbour clip, because I only made it through like a season and a half. So set up the clip and let's do some David Harbour, man.
Yeah, so I just think this is just a really funny clip. There's nothing really to set up here. It's just him going into a library and the librarian is someone he used to date. And I just think it's a really funny clip.
All right.
Hey, Marissa, how you doing?
You have a lot of nerve showing up here.
What?
You could have at least called, said, Marissa, hey, it's not going to work out. Sorry I wasted your time. I'm a...
Yep. I'm sorry. Maybe we could go out again next week.
He's great.
And then this clip, it's just great. He finally gets a date from Will Ryder's character. So,
okay.
What do you say, Friday, 8 o'clock?
Elle likes to watch Miami Vice on Fridays. It starts at 10, so I can't be out late on Friday.
Okay, well, how about 7 then?
7? Enzo's Friday. I meet you there.
No, you pick me up.
Picking you up. 7 p.m. Friday.
Yeah, it's a date.
Just for clarification. clarification, just because if when you say date, just so that we're crystal clear about things, so there's no confusion. Yeah.
Stop talking or I can change my mind.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
He's great.
He's great in that show.
He makes the show for me. I mean, the kids, the first season, I really liked the kids. And it was just so different. And obviously, it takes you back to the 80s, and I grew up in the 80s, so I like that part of it. But he was my favorite character, easily, moving forward. Hey, this is kind of a cool thing. Did you know, I didn't know this, and we should have gotten probably Rich Lucchese on to talk about this, but John Cena spilled the tea, as they say. Is that what the kids say?
Yeah.
Okay. He talked about, he was on Dax Shepard's Armchair Expert podcast. Dax Shepard is not a household name, but he's got a great podcast. He tells really funny stories about actors he's worked with, actors he's slept with. I mean, it's all self-deprecating. Like, he never outs anybody, or it's all about his reaction to his life, which is pretty funny. But John Cena was on, talked about Vin Diesel and Dwayne The Rock Johnson having a feud that started on Fast Five in 2011. Apparently the two did not get along with each other, and they wrapped up. They, I don't know, whatever. They made up and appeared in the credits together on Fast 10. Is it Fast 10 or Fast X? Enough. This franchise drives me nuts.
I believe it's Fast 10.
Okay. So they appeared in the credits and now they get along. How about those names? What are these guys trying to hide, or what are they trying to compensate for? Dwayne Johnson is a dude name. If that's his real name, I don't even know. But he has to add The Rock. I get it. He's a wrestler. But Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Vin Diesel. His last name is Diesel. His real name's like Jeff Sinclair. I think I'm going to start calling myself Duke.
Just Duke or
Duke?
Duke Schwabba.
One name. Duke Schwabba. Yeah, maybe Duke Schwabba. I don't know. We'll talk about it. I don't know.
And then I got Prince Krieger.
You got Prince Krieger. Yeah, that's a good one. I still like Boots. Boots Mansmith.
That's such a good one.
Name, Boots. All right, coming up next on Nightlight, the fun continues with an Elton John tribute artist, Tom Cridlin. He's going to be here. We're going to ask him a lot of questions. We're going to hear some of his music. It's going to be great fun. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I doubt it's subterranean by design. I wonder what I would find if I met you. Let my eyes caress you until I meet the thought of Mrs. Princess, who often wonder what makes her work. I guess I'll leave that question to the experts, assuming that there are some out there. They're probably alone, solitaire. I can remember when I caught up with a pastime intimate friend. She said,
welcome back. Robert checking in from the 608 says he loved David Harbour as Hellboy. I haven't seen that movie. Have you seen that movie, Conrad?
I have, but it's been so long since I've seen it.
I saw the less risque version called Heck Boy. I enjoyed that more because I don't care for that kind of...
great joke.
All right. This is really exciting for me. When I was in Madison last week for the Wisconsin Film Festival, a lot of stuff happened at the Barrymore. I saw they had this great artist coming named Tom Cridlin. He's a Elton John tribute artist, and he's got a show there on April 18th. I'm very excited to welcome him to Nightlight right now so we can find out more about his show and what he does. Tom, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me on the show, Pete.
You got an English accent. Where are you from?
I'm from London originally.
Okay. I didn't know if that, like, I thought maybe you might be, because that's where Elton John is from, but then I was kind of reading about you, and I couldn't, you're kind of a man of mystery. So anyway, that's really cool that you're joining us from, are you joining us from London tonight?
No, we're in Virginia at the moment.
Okay.
We've got a couple of shows here this week, so we're already in America and already loving playing and being out here on the road.
This is so great. All right. So how did you get started doing this? I mean, you're a very talented musician based on what I've read. How did you get started? I'll tell you what. Let's go back pre-Elton John tribute and tell us about your musical past and what got you into music and what made you passionate about it.
Well, I've always been a huge music fan, but I didn't take up playing until pretty recently. You know, I was basically just that annoying drunk guy at a concert, getting in people's way to try and get another pint of lager. You know, eventually I realized, you know, I had a full on alcohol problem by the time I was 26, 27 years old. So I had to knock drinking on the head.
Oh, wow.
Luckily, I'm in the fortunate position of, you know, not minding so much when other people are having a drink. I still love being with my friends when they're boozing and stuff, because some people can't even do that. So I'm very blessed and fortunate to say that what got me sober was taking up music. I'm obsessive music fan. I grew up on the Beatles, and I've always harbored this kind of, you know, deep-seated aspiration to get involved and play. And I thought it was too late, but when I was 26 or 27, it just started as a hobby, first singing, and then during the lockdown I learned piano, again with the aim of keeping me sober. And so it was never meant to be anything more than a hobby, but it's really turned into more than that, and turned into a way of life almost, playing music like this. And it's just fantastic and a real privilege and a real gift.
So most of us during the lockdown ate and drank more. You learned how to play the piano. I'm very envious of you and very jealous of you. Well done.
Well, thank you. I mean, when I say learn to play the piano, I literally mean taking what was in my head, that knowledge of Elton John, because since I was about 18, I've been, you know, I said I grew up on the Beatles. From 18, it was like I grew up on Elton John. Kind of moved to an Elton John obsession with the music. And so, you know, I don't really play anything else. I don't sing anything else. I just, my band and I play so often. That's all I know how to do. I'm sure if I gave something else a try, at this point, I could learn, you know, basic pop and rock, but you know, it's not like I'm playing Chopin or like I'm a really incredible piano player, but I'm able to do the Elton thing authentically, I think.
Very nice. All right, so obviously you're a huge Elton John fan. You don't become a tribute artist unless you're a fan. How did that all start, Tom?
Well, definitely not with the intention of being a tribute artist. That's for sure. I really maintain that you can't control the music that you like. You know, when you really like a song, it just kind of happens. You don't go searching for it. It finds you. And that's how it happened with Elton John's music. When I was 18 at Bristol, everybody else was listening to club music, dance music, you know, like, and all these DJs and things. And for some reason, I got hooked on Elton John after seeing a DVD of him and his band playing Madison Square Garden for his 60th birthday. I was fascinated with all these journeyman musicians in his band, like David Johnstone and Nigel Olsen. A couple of years after that, I became friends with Nigel Olsen, his drummer, because I started a clothing company and we were making his clothing. And so that led to me going to 50, 60 Elton John concerts, hanging out with Nigel. And that's where, I grew to even, you know, further my appreciation of how good they are live. And I just got a taste of being around people who play lots of shows. You know, that the Elton John band play like 100 shows a year, or they did until they retired last year.
Yeah.
And I really admired their work ethic. And so, you know, the music, I couldn't control, you know, how much I liked it. And then also I have a huge admiration for the fact that they're working musicians. It might seem all glamorous, but they're genuinely, you know, playing like once every 3 days in a normal year. And that takes a lot of, you know, mental and physical strength.
So you learned how to play the piano during the pandemic and you started your own clothing company. Like, are you like this Renaissance man? You can also sing like Elton John. That's pretty impressive.
It's not like the clothing company was, you know, the world's biggest clothing company or anything like that. But, you know, all of that started because I was, you know, trying to figure out what to do after university. I got a job as an accountant and I was the world's worst accountant. So I'm not a Renaissance man.
Okay.
I ended up leaving that job after 6 weeks. starting the clothing company shortly after that. I wanted to do something entrepreneurial. I knew that I wasn't really cut out for a different way of life other than, you know, working on things that, you know, working on small business projects, creative projects, right, things like that. That really motivated.
Okay. So, all right. So the show is April 18th. Tell us what people can expect if they come out to the Barrymore and see you, Tom.
Well, what they can expect, hopefully, is to connect with someone who will play exactly what they want to hear. So we play 2 hours of Elton John hits. We play every hit that you can think of very, very authentically. And, of course, I bring, you know, the costumes and that kind of stage presence. And so, you know, a great night from that perspective. But also, if people reached out to me at Tom Elton Tribute on social media, if you're a big Elton John fan and you want to hear, you know, the greatest discovery from the Elton John album, or Come Down in Time from Tumbleweed Connection, or, you know, name your deep cut, send me a message on Instagram or Facebook, and I'll see if I can cobble something together, because that's the number one about this is connecting with American audiences, American fans, and you know, just sharing our passion for the music.
Well, we've heard your music. You were nice enough to send us a couple of cuts, and we're going to play those when we come back. We're going to play one of them. Tom is really talented. If you're listening to this interview and you like Elton John, you can't see Elton John anymore, right? I mean, he's not touring anymore, correct?
No. He finished in Stockholm last year.
So listen to, all right, so when we come back, we'll play the song, we'll talk some more with Tom, we'll tell you where you can get tickets to the Barrymore. That's coming up next on Nightlight. We're talking Elton John. This is Pete Schwabba and the Civic Media Radio Network. Man, yeah, give me a piece of
miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Tomorrow night on Nightlight, I welcome Ed the Diver, a fellow Marinette resident, will be here in the studio talking about all the really cool and really weird things he finds in our rivers and waterways when he is down there collecting and trying to clean up our water. Very cool stuff he's doing, and he will be here tomorrow night at 7:35 on Nightlight. Right now, I am talking to Tom Cridland. He is a Elton John tribute artist. He has a show in Madison, April 18th, that starts at 7:30. Tickets are crazy affordable. He's incredibly talented. Tom, we're going to play one of your songs that you sent us, okay? So we'll give people a taste of what they could hear if they come see the show. Does that sound good?
That sounds great. Thank you, Pete.
Conrad, let's hear some Rocket Man.
She packed my bags last night, pre-flight. 0 hour, 9 a.m. And I'm going to be high. Space. Such a time.
of place to raise your kids. In fact, it's caught us hell, and there's no one there to raise them.
Is Tom Cridlin, not Elton John, but it sounded pretty doggone good, Tom. Very nicely done.
Thank you.
Yeah, that is just one of the songs you can hear if you check out Tom's show at the Barrymore Theater April 18th. Tickets are crazy affordable. And Tom, just unlike Elton John, you can find Tom on social media. Tell them again where they can make a request, Tom.
At Tom Elton Tribute. And if you just look up Tom's Elton Tribute,
okay,
you'll find our website and all our social media handles there.
We got some nice text, actually, while the song was playing. Catherine from the 773 said, wow, that sounds amazing. And Robert from the 608 says, does dude have a live band play with him? And yes, you do, of course. Right, Tom?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen the pictures on the site. It looks great. What are your favorite Elton John songs to listen to and to perform?
Well, I love listening to and performing Funeral for a Friend, Love Lies Bleeding from Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, because it's, you know, I think a lot of people think of Elton John just with like Rocket Man, Tiny Dancer, and some of those bigger hits, you know, Crocodile Rock, Benny and the Jets, all that sort of thing. And some people don't even know about Funeral for a Friend, Love Lies Bleeding, and that's just such a masterpiece. But there are so many. Mona Lisa's and Mad Hatters, or... Burn Down the Mission, Take Me to the Pilot. But I also love playing the hits, like the ones that I just mentioned, or Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me. I guess that's why they call it the blues. I mean, you know, I don't tire of playing these songs, and I guess that's lucky.
Yeah, I guess so. I think, do you do your song in concert?
Of course.
And Tiny
course,
Dancer. I'm sure you get sick of playing those, but those are, to me, I love the more anthem songs that I grew up listening to. Crocodile Rock, Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting, great songs. But Tiny Dancer is a masterpiece to me. I just love where the song goes from a composition standpoint. It's so beautiful. And what do you like to listen to? Like, when you're not listening to Elton John, who are your musical influences, Tom?
Well, I love... bands who have great harmonies and melodies. So, you know, the Beach Boys, the Bee Gees, the Eagles, Little River Band. Nice. I love that era of 70s soft rock musicianship. I love Toto. I love Bill Champlin. And Chicago, I'm not ashamed to say that I love Chicago 16 and Chicago 17. I love, you know, David Foster in that era. Jay Graydon, who did the guitar solo on Steely Dan Peg, but he you know, he also I love Earth, Wind and Fire when they hooked up with David Foster. It's that kind of, you know, I guess a lot of people would call it yacht rock. I love yacht rock. But a lot of the guys who make this music, who I've been lucky enough to meet, they don't seem to like that term that much. I mean, I don't think they get that upset about it. But you know, a lot of people call it West Coast. But then I also love British rock and roll, like the Beatles, the Who, that type of thing. Although when I went to see the Who in Detroit last year, it looked like they were about to have a brawl on stage, and so I think I was lucky to see them, because I also see that Roger Daltrey said that he's not got long left or something like that. But I love that classic British rock.
My guest is Tom Cridland. Well, you can check him out at the Barrymore Theater April 18th in Madison if you're in the Madison area, and his performance of Tom Elton Trib. Tell me again, Tom. I keep screwing that up. Tom's Elton tribute. Okay, I want to call you Elton Tom. That's what's messing me up, you know.
Elton Tom is one option, and there's also Elton John.
Oh, I like that well. Too. Oh, yeah. Dude, that's fantastic. You know, one of my favorite Elton John songs is, I guess that's why they call it the blues, and I don't hear that as much on the radio anymore. I mean, it's been years since it's been popular, but I think that's one of his best songs, personally.
That would be in my top five favorite songs, and we play that every single night.
Oh, fantastic. What are your favorite venues to play when you're traveling?
My favorite venues to play, I mean, well, I would say one venue stands out in terms of being a turning point for us, which is McKelligan Canyon Amphitheater in Texas. That really is a fantastic venue. And it was last year that we played there in front of 1,500 people.
Oh, nice.
And it's kind of like Red Rocks. It's got that kind of atmosphere in the canyon. So that was incredible. And it was quite a turning point, because that gig came as a result of the year before, when we just started playing. And, you know, I'd barely learned piano in the first year of us gigging. Wow. And it's been quite a sharp progression. And so during that year, we drove 9 hours to go to El Paso. This bar booked us. There were two people there. I was like, oh, my God, why did we bother? Why do we drive all the way here for two people? Like, at the end of my tether, still, you know, put on all the Elton John gear. Tried my best, as if we were playing Wembley Stadium. And one of the two people ran, like, Kiss FM in El Paso, and did the bookings for this huge summer concert series. So they booked us, and they were like, yeah, come back. There'll be 1,500 people there. You'll be the headline act, 2 hours. And I was like, yeah, sure. I'm not making that mistake again. But obviously, you know, I trusted her. And we came back, and it was just wild, you know, and a great audience as well. Like, it was a very, very big turning point. And this year we're very excited to come and play the Barrymore Theatre. And we're, you know, we've been really enjoying playing theatres. There are so many brilliant ones. And as I play in a three-piece, you know, like Elton's original band with Nigel Olsen and Dee Murray, this is a three-piece band, like very authentic to the 70s sound of Elton John when he first started. One thing that we're really stoked about is that we're playing at the Troubadour, which, of course, was the famous gig in 1970. Elton's first ever gig in America was at the Troubadour. In LA, so we've got that little bit of history, and being friends with Nigel Olsen, his drummer, you know, I mean, Nigel says he's going to be there in the audience, so I'm going to be very nervous. But it's pretty wild, you know, when you're as much of an Elton John fan as I am, to be playing the Troubadour in front of Nigel Olsen, who was one of the three people on stage, including Elton. It was Elton, Dee, and Nigel.
So, wow,
that's going to be a real exciting thing for me and the other two guys in my band.
You kind of just answered it, but my next question was going to be, have you met Elton John? So he's seen you play?
Elton hasn't seen me play.
Oh, okay.
No, that will be Nigel. Nigel, his drummer, will be in the audience. Elton, I have met last year, though, at his Oscar party in LA, and that was fantastic. You know, it's obviously...
How'd you score those tickets?
I think more or less anyone can attend, but okay. Where the luck came in was that we were on the table next to him. Because 1,000 people go to that party, you know, it's a fundraiser. So it's not like Elton's invited me into his kitchen for a cup of tea.
Well, I've tried to get into his house and he told me to beat it. So I'm impressed with the fact that you got
it. Well, then you met him. Then that counts.
Yeah,
that
not counts. Under very good circumstances. So how many days a year are you on the road, Tom?
Well, at the moment, quite a lot. We're basically on tour more or less solidly till February.
Oh, nice. Year. Very nice.
So this is you know, quite a lot lengthy tour. After that, we'll probably take a little break.
Okay. Well, that's great. But, my guest is Tom Cridlin. Have you been to? I got a couple more questions for you, and we'll do that. But I want to ask you a very important question, and that's coming up next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba. My guest is Tom Cridlin. Or El Tom John tribute. We'll figure it out. Well, anyway, we're having a good time with Tom Cridlin. More with him next on Nightlight. This is Peach Wabba, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Take me to another place in my life where everything is beautiful. And no one should need no sun.
Voice of my guest Tom Cridlin, who is performing at the Barrymore Theater April 18th, and he does an Elton John tribute show. It's a great show, and he is incredibly talented. We're thrilled to have him on the show tonight. And if you're in the Madison area, go check him out. Tom, have you been to Madison before?
I've never been to Madison. No, I've only been to Milwaukee.
Okay, you're gonna love Madison, and the Barrymore Theater is just this cool, quirky theater that's got great history to it in a great neighborhood in Madison called Atwood. You're going to absolutely love it, and I hope you have a great show.
Thank you, Pete.
Yeah, you're welcome, and I appreciate you taking time out tonight. What we do on the show, Tom, I'm not going to let you off easy. I want to know what you're watching on TV. What can you recommend to my listeners? When you're done playing Elton John, you've rocked the house, you blew the roof off the dump, what are you sitting down to watch on TV?
Well, I'm watching at the moment the post office scandal, Mr. Bates versus the post office, which you can watch on Apple TV. Huh. And I couldn't believe, you know, how badly the people of England, you know, the postmasters had been wronged by the post office. And this is a true story. This is an adaptation of a true story, which they've dramatized for television. And I guess it's shone a light on, I mean, you just have to see it.
Yeah. Wow.
But you know, there were definite tears involved.
No kidding.
You know, just seeing what these people were going through and have gone through in real life. And we're also watching there's something on Netflix about the Prince Andrew thing, about the interview.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty good. I was kind of thinking initially, do we need yet another kind of program about Epstein and about Prince Andrew and all that stuff? But it's very well done, and I love The Crown as well.
Sure.
But my all time favorites, you know, because not everybody's seen them: The Sopranos, Breaking Bad, and you know, something a bit more lighthearted is the UK version of The Office. Maybe everybody's seen the American version.
Oh, I love it.
Out here. But I love the UK version of The Office and Extras with Ricky Gervais as well.
Yes. I'll tell you, Tom, it's funny. I first saw the UK version of The Office and it's so tight. There's 12 episodes. They wrap it up with the Christmas special. I boycotted the American Office for the longest time because I love the UK Office so much. Love Ricky Gervais. and his co-creator, whose name slips.
Stephen Merchant.
Very funny. And he did a funny show called Hello Ladies on HBO that only ran for a season, but I really enjoyed that. Anyway, I eventually caved, and now I love The American Office too, but it's hard to compete with a show that only did 12 episodes and every one of them are gold. So those are some great recommendations. Hey, I hope you have a great show in Madison. I hope you enjoy Madison, and I wish you safe travels, buddy. It's great meeting you, and break a leg.
You too, Pete. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed our conversation, so thank you very much for having me on the show.
Likewise, pal. All right, that's Tom Cridlin. Check his show out at the Barrymore Theater April 18th in Madison. If you're in the Madison area, check it out. The tickets are crazy affordable. You can find Tom's Elton tribute on social media, and he'll actually take requests if you're a big Elton John fan. So, and he just gave us some pretty cool recommendations there too. Right, Conrad?
Yes. Yeah.
Did you take some memos?
I did. I did take some memos.
All right. Cause we can't, I want to check out the post office show. That sounds great. And then our question tonight, if you got something good, get it in quick, folks. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Do you tip? Not waiters and waitresses, cashiers, people that hand you their coffee. I want to know if you tip, because I think it's wrong. Pay your employees. That's all I'm saying. We've got some great texts tonight. And, Jane Schrader, Schrader checked in on the stream and said, great interview. I should have told Tom that. Thank you, Jane. Tom was fun to talk to, and I'm glad you're listening on the stream. That's great. On Facebook. Bridget says, sometimes I tip. Bridget is from the 818. Sometimes I tip. I ultimately think employers need to pay more and not leave it to already overcharged customers to bring the gap to a living wage for employees. I totally agree. And here's Joe from the 715 checking in. I feel bad, but no, I don't tip them. Frown face. All right. So, and as I shared about a few minutes ago, my favorite response to this is, you know, now you have to take the pay thing, like it's the big famous coffee place. I'm not going to name it, but it rhymes with Marbucks.
Nice.
So they actually hand you the thing to put your card in, and then the option is tip 15, 20, 25%, whatever, and then there's no thank you. And he'll say, do I want a tip? He'll say it out loud to the person in the window, and he'll go, nope, really loud. Like, you don't have to be a jerk about it. I have to admit, I was in the car, I laughed, but, you know, it's not them. I'm not mad at them. It's just the people they work for. Stop it. Pay your employees. I think we can all agree on that. If we've learned one thing tonight, Conrad.
Yeah.
We do have one more David Harbour clip, don't
yes,
we?
Yes. This
do we
is
have
from
time for it?
Yeah, Let's this do is it. This is from Violent Night.
Loved Violent Night. This is David Harbour. On his birthday, he turns 49 today from Violent Night.
You just get off?
I've been taking a break between shifts, I guess you could say.
You ain't driving, are you?
I steer a little, but the reindeer do most of the work.
He's in a Santa outfit.
Mm-hmm. This is my fourth year as a Santa. How about you?
Lost count. I forget why I started doing it in the first place.
Same reason anybody does anything. The money.
Money. Money.
This whole planet runs on greed.
It's the look on the kiddies' faces, isn't it? That's what does it for me.
That look.
Yeah, that look.
Lasts about 2 seconds. As soon as they're finished unwrapping, they want the next present. They want the next cool thing. That's how this world works. And kids, what kids have become, they're just like little junkies. They're little sh-. They just demand. They don't believe. They just want, crave, consume.
Maybe this is my last year.
Great clip. That's David Harbour. He turns 49 today. This was a fun show. I usually don't have a lot of fun hosting this show, but I did tonight.
Oh, really?
Of course not. I'd like to thank all my guests tonight. Ann Reed, the CEO of Milwaukee Film. Tom Cridlin from the Elton John Tribute. All your texts are so much fun to read. Love when you guys are part of the show. Tomorrow night, Ed the Driver is not on tomorrow. Ed the Diver is on. We'll have Ed the Driver on another time. We'll be back tomorrow night with more Nightlight. Have a great night, folks. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good night, Wisconsin.